Are they changing colors yet?
They're starting. Have you noticed how the trees are starting to turn off at the very tops of the branches? That's normal.
I've got a few, though. I've got one in my front yard that's already starting to release some of those leaves. They're coming down brown.
Yeah. Well, they're coming down
didn't they
color.
Didn't they have a different color to them? I mean, that's a waste if you had a green tree that turns brown.
Yeah,
that would be a dead tree, right?
I've noticed they're brown now. They probably did come down with some color on them.
Well, there's a dead tree in the parking lot here. I don't know. Charles Benke, our horticulturalist, joined us. If you looked out the window here, they have all these
crab apples,
and there's one of them that is just like a dead white stick now.
Well, it's probably a dead white stick.
And what did they do? They cut down the one that was perfectly healthy out in front of our building here. The only problem with the one in front of our building, the roots started to kick up on the sidewalk.
Oh, yes. And
so when you're planting,
terminated it.
You're planting trees, you have to kind of keep in mind things that could happen.
You got to know about the ultimate size of the plant that you're putting in. If you're putting in a tree, it doesn't hurt to look up some of that information or at least get a hold of, you know, again, through the Extension Service office, which is out here on Russia Road, you can do that. And they can look up what the ultimate size of the tree. And you can look it up on the internet, too. Just put in the specific tree, and it'll give you usually a height range of trees.
You can't know what the roots are going to do, though, right?
No, there's not really good information on that. And again, it relates to how you plant the tree. Again, normally you want to see a good root flare, but large trees, say like get into a maple or you do an elm or a linden tree, the roots are going to increase an annual ring of growth every year and eventually can lift up a sidewalk. Oh. Give it 40
years.
Are
we going to get a good color of leaves? Do we know that based on
it's warm coming up next week again. Plants will continue to grow. So we need that cold at night, really, to kind of lock in the color to get the what's called anthocyanins and carotenes to show up. And
now explain to me again, the tree leaves have those colors in them already, and it's just the lack of green that allows these other ones to come through?
The chlorophyll just dies off, and then the pretty anthocyanins, which is the blue, not the blue, but the red color, and then the carotenoids are the yellows and the oranges that pop up out there.
What is weather like this due to these trees? I feel like they have to be going through a rough time right now. It was 70s, 60s last week. We're going to hit 80s again this weekend.
Yeah, they'll turn color on time. Right. I wouldn't worry about that. Where you see a real bad year, last year, which was drier, we're about 4 to 6 inches above normal, if you look at the rain report. And usually that results in a reasonably good fall color.
How many more mowings do I have to?
Oh, you got a few more left. You've got month of October, at least up to Thanksgiving. Soil temperatures haven't dropped all that much. It can almost can kind of follow it according to lake temperature as to what soil temperatures are. We need to get down to about 38 degrees soil temperature for the grass to stop growing.
Speaking of which, is it a bad thing to mulch the leaves in your lawn, or should you rake those?
No. You can run them over the lawnmower. In fact, that's a great thing to do, thinking about recycling. You don't always have to rake them out to the curb.
Okay.
Get yourself a nice warm day, you know, run it over the mower. You know, all you have to do, and surprisingly, there's a high population of earthworms in your yard that actually go up and eat those at night and take them back down into the ground.
Well, good. I'm glad I'm feeding them then.
You say good. Wouldn't you want to go out there and watch the worms come up and grab the leaves and then pull them underneath the ground? It's just sort of like...
That's kind of creepy,
isn't it?
Have you ever noticed, though, that all the leaves that fall in a forest, they're not there? They're gone.
Yeah.
I just thought they blew in the neighbor's yard.
That's what I always kind of figured, too. It's the earthworms, huh?
All right. Matt, you got a question for Charles. You have a homeowner. Now, you've been about a year and a half now in this home or a year.
Yeah.
So you've gone through like a seasonal cycle of things, right?
Yeah, we've gotten to that point, I guess, right now. One of the big things, I guess, I want to know, keeping the lawn up and going, do you have to aerate your yard? I mean, is that a big thing?
It's not absolutely necessary. The important thing is do a little slice into the yard and take a look, see if there's thatch there. Uh-huh. You'll see the green portion, but you'll see another brown portion underneath. That is thatch. If it's greater than about half an inch, then you need to think about dethatching, and fall is the right time to do that. Either dethatch with a rake or come in and have somebody aerate your lawn. You'll see the signs around aeration done for anywhere from about $29.95 to about $49.95 in prices.
Is that the one where they pull the plugs out?
Yeah, that's where they pull the plugs out. And just let the plugs lay there. They'll decay over the winter.
We learned about that at the golf course when we were out.
I heard about that. I think that's maybe what made me think about it a little bit. But I have a buddy who just aerated his yard, and he was telling me all about it. So
yeah, it's worthwhile doing, especially if you have an older lawn. There's more than likely a thatch problem. It's a young lawn. Probably not, unless it was a sodded lawn. Sodded lawns tend to have more of a thatch problem than actually a seeded lawn does. It's just the biology of the yard.
Sure. Well, do weeds ever go away? Those stupid thistles keep popping up.
Oh, you got a problem.
Did you just ask if weeds ever go away?
No, they always keep coming. And now
they're not invited. Sorry.
This week, when it's so nice and warm, is a great time. In fact, I was out yesterday spraying my weeds, my broadleaf weeds. You can either use the granular products like the Weed and Feed, number of different brand names, or you can use the liquid sprays. You can attach onto your garden hose or pump up sprayer, and they do a very good job.
All right.
Now's the time to do it.
All right. I need to get out there then.
Itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sunshine and dried up all the rain. And itsy bitsy spider.
Those spiders never give up, by the way.
They'll
find. Why didn't he just go in through like the little air duct where the air conditioning goes in, or the basement window where there's a little crack?
What's the challenge in that? I almost called you bull. What's the challenge in that, Bruce?
You need a challenge? The spider? What is he?
Sure.
He's like sort of a rough and ready spider. I'm going to go the hard way through the water spout?
He wants to go up the water spout. He doesn't want in the house. He just wants to get back
up. Oh, come on. This is the time all the insects start moving indoors, don't they, Charles?
Yeah, that's because you're letting out all the warm air from your house when the heat starts on. They can find those little air currents that are coming out along the sill of your house, and they will orient to that. Not only spiders, but you get the millipedes, the sow bugs, sometimes the leaf-footed pine bug.
What about the stink bugs?
The stink bugs and multicolored Asian lady beetles will all orient to that little kind of air draft.
Has this been a big year for the bug? Because you mentioned the spider. I believe that's because we were talking about spiders off the air. I've been seeing some that I feel my kids could ride at times. I mean, these are big guys, about a half dollar
size. Nice and juicy.
Yeah, sure. That's a good way to put it, I suppose.
Kind of like, sea crabs and lobsters. You know, they're kind of all related.
Never thought of it that way.
Should we be worried?
Go and have some lobster tonight.
I've never tried to cook a lobster.
Charles Banky's a horticulturalist, and he's also a person who talks about bugs. I don't think he's a cook. He's not a culinary expert, so we won't go in that direction at all.
Sure, but has it been a bad year for bugs? Is that why I'm seeing so many more? Or am I just noticing
it? Yeah, I think you're just noticing it. And a lot of times, you were talking about spiders. A lot of times, if you have the lights on around by your house, if you have light, the light out on the street, for one thing, that's almost like a saying buffet line.
Sure.
You got the light on, it attracts other insects. Well, who's there to eat things at night? Spiders are there to eat stuff at night.
I would say, Matt, because you have children, now the kids are more interested they're down at the bug level.
They could be too.
And their kids are more interested in bugs, and they'll point out things, or they'll bring you bugs.
I'd say that's true. I think my youngest may be in that phase. My oldest is getting from her mother, where my wife is deathly afraid of spider. I don't know why. I don't have a problem, especially if they're outside. I try and shoo them outside.
Right, just pick them up and move them outside. Of course, some people just whack them. The typical spider coming in right now in your house will be the wolf spider. Mm-hmm. It's usually kind of fairly dark gray to sometimes black in color. There's a few jumping spiders that'll come in too, but they like to get in along those cracks around the sill of your house. So what does that say? Got to get out there and use the caulking gun. It's the non-chemical way. Caulk up around the sill foundation of your house and around door window frames and door frames where there's a little bit of a crack. They won't get in.
Sure. That makes sense.
You don't have to spray.
You have to walk in with a door, and that's when all these giant flying cranes come flying.
Yeah, the crane flies, yes. Those gigantic things that look like gigantic mosquitoes out there that are like an inch or so in length, and they're flying off the lawn right now. And actually, they won't bite. They don't have any biting mouth parts. But the larva stage of them were feeding in your lawn all summer long, and now at this time of the year, they hatch out. And they're literally out there by the thousands in the yard.
Do they do anything? I mean, do they ruin anything?
No, not really. They work on the organic matter in the soil, and kind of that thatch layer, and that's what they're feeding on. So if you're normally using an insect control product, I wouldn't overly suggest that if not needed.
Sure.
But if you are, your population will be much lower. But if your neighbors aren't, you'll get their grain flies anyway.
I got you.
We're talking with Charles Benke, Lorain County's horticulturalist. Let's talk about perennials. This is the time to divide them, right?
Right. Great time to divide a lot of your perennials. The soil is still warm yet. A lot of these plants can be divided, moved
like
around.
Hostas,
poppies, peony plants. Oh, I don't know. You got any delphiniums out there?
And sometimes, if I say perennial, Matt, I'm just trying to test. Do you know what that means?
No.
I'm not
really
sure.
Tell
them what a perennial is. So
yes,
you know.
A perennial is a plant that keeps living year after year.
Okay.
Whereas an annual, that'd be like your petunias and marigolds. They'll come up, flower, and they're dead.
That makes sense. If we'd said that first, I might have been able to figure that
out. That's okay. Well, I just wanted to bring that in.
But then there's the biennials that are all biennials.
Like every other year they pop up?
Yeah, they flower every other year.
How about that?
But they come up, form a little rosette at this time of the year, just lay there waiting, and then next year they flower.
Huh.
Okay, Matt, here's one for you now. You have daffodils that bloom in the spring. When do you need to plant your daffodils?
The fall?
Great.
Right, didn't he?
Yes, he wins.
The fall
put one and one together.
Well, if they're spring bulbs, you plant them in the fall. If they're fall bulbs, you plant them in the spring.
All right.
Yes.
So what are we planting now?
Well, we're planting daffodils, tulips, hyacinths, crocus, and any of the little small minor bulbs they would be going in. Now they're available at local garden centers, and now's the time that they go in. And in fact, if you'd like to start some to flower indoors, you need 13 weeks of cold temperatures of about 38 to 40 degrees. So you can pot up some of these, you know, put them in pots, put them in your refrigerator, old refrigerator probably not, you know, slip a little plastic bag around, keep them moist, and they'll be ready for you to bloom now just about the second week of January in the house.
Okay.
You'll do that.
I've seen pumpkins everywhere now.
Yes, now's the time.
What's the pumpkin crop been like?
Oh, I've noticed a fairly good pumpkin crop this year out there, just in my kind of driving around. And again, the thing with pumpkins come in all sizes. Make sure that when you and your children are handling them, you pick them up from the bottom. Just don't jerk them from the top because
the stem
will sometimes break off and you won't have anything to lift the top of your pumpkin off with. So pick them up, both bottom and top.
Sure.
Carry them gently.
A lot of people like to do the apple thing this time of year, but I saw somewhere that the Honeycrisp in Ohio didn't do so well. Is there a reason for that?
I think that was our warm summer that kind of did them in. They need a little bit cooler temperatures to do better. Yeah, that's becoming the number one apple out there.
Yeah, I love
those. Oh, man, they're really good, aren't they?
I was telling Bruce not long ago. I didn't realize. My mom always just bought the ones you put in the lunch that weren't very good.
Yeah, delicious. Gold, Red Delicious. But
Red Delicious is what I grew up on. And there was like a Macintosh, I think, at that time.
Right.
And then you get all these other ones. And then
I felt those always tasted grainy. And then those Honey Crisp, they're crisp.
Grainy taste that you're tasting is an apple that isn't ripe.
Okay.
It's got starch. You're tasting starch particles in the apple.
Probably got it in the manager's bin or something like that.
Yes. Yeah, they weren't completely ripe yet.
And the chewy part, that's the worm that might...
the real chewy part is the worm.
How are the apples in your tree, Matt? Have they fallen yet?
They're fallen. They look good, actually. I was going to go out and try and pick a few. I told Bull yesterday he could come over and grab some, too, because he loves that apple picking. But
pick them up and peel them, at least make applesauce and maybe apple pie.
We learned the other day, because it was Johnny Appleseed Day, that Johnny Appleseed went around planting apple trees that were mainly used for alcohol. They were like the spitters or something.
Well, remember, you squeeze that cider out, what does it turn into? First of all, it's nice and sweet, but you can ferment it.
Wow. There you go.
Don't let it go too far, unless then it'll turn into vinegar on you. So you gotta...
You gotta watch
your fermentation going. Also thinking of fermentation, I noticed the local grape growers have local Concord grapes for sale. Yes. There's a few places over in the Avon Lake area where you can get fresh grapes right now. And, you know, the guys that are the winemakers up that way are gathering those in right now. They want to get them high sugar content so that they can really get that.
You were just at a winery, man.
I was.
Right? Now, you see the grapevines out there in the area?
Theirs are, what they call them? Oh, ambiance grapes, they said. They're just basically there for show at this point. But I think there
are
a couple
fake
wineries.
Plastic grapes?
They're not plastic. Like, it's an actual grapevine. If you want to go eat them, you can pull them off the vine. They just don't use them to make the wine at John Chris Winery. They import juices or they bring in juices.
They bring in, and there's still a few vineyards around, but they do bring in a lot of.
Can I do that at home? Not the.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can. There's companies
grapevine.
That sell juice and you ferment it, make. Wine out of it.
Okay. Well, I'm just talking about growing grapes at home.
Grapes are quite easily grown around here. No.
Will it take me 10 years before I actually harvest?
No, you should be able to get them into production in about 3 years.
Okay.
Wow.
If you want to do them, buy yourself some grapevines.
Right. What do we do into our yard or our gardens to get them ready for the winter months? Anything at this point? Or?
Well, you might do some trimming back. If you got any perennials, certainly trim them back. You can divide them, as we talked about earlier. Don't do any feeding at this time. Other than that, just trim them back. They'll be happy and ready for the winter.
Okay, we'll get ready to do some more mowing and raking, I guess.
Yes, mowing, raking, and then think about composting coming up here.
I was going to give you the shout-out to the compost pile. We get the brown and the green mixed together.
Right.
And you can
it's about 70 brown and 30 green.
So brown and green make black gold is what they
call for that. Yes,
sure does. All right. Well, we appreciate you coming in this morning as well. Where's a good place for people to get some good gardening advice if you have online? Is that the...
Well, if they want to read particular things, I'd always send you to ohioline.osu.edu for very specific topics on horticulture. Otherwise, there are other just gardening blogs that are out there. I do not do one, but there's...
Do you have an agenda today where you're heading out to...
I was out planting my garlic the other day. I might check in on that. I got to put my mulch over... And actually what I use for mulch is all the shredded up paper that comes out of the office, and I just put shredded paper all over everything.
You have high-sensitive documents that are now
yes.
on the grounds there?
Yes.
With the garlic?
They're turned into mulch, and the earthworms eat them over the winter.
Yeah. I was going to make a manure comment related to all the documents, but I'll move on beyond that. Charles, we appreciate you coming in this morning as well.
Okay, thank you.
It is 8:50 at WEOL. We check in as the Indians get ready for the postseason.
Hi, this is Jim Rosenhaus with your Indians update. Josh Donaldson has provided...